So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
So we could imagine a roadmap or create a path that really gives us the long-term vision of knowing, okay, if a company wants to be great, how and what do they need for their people in order to reach their long-term goals?
The foundational framework is what we call the S-curve. And the really big insight that we had was that the S-curve could help us understand how people learn, how we grow, how we change, what growth looks like, and what it feels like. My name is Whitney Johnson.
And my name is Amy Humble.
And we're the co-founders of Disruption Advisors.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Like 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know
what
to do next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, Mike.
Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how Whitney Johnson and Amy Humble are helping you grow yourself and your organization through individual disruption. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Whitney Johnson graduated college with a degree in music, minoring in English. Of course, she needed a job and became the secretary to a broker on Wall Street. After taking business courses at night and building confidence from a boss who believed in her, she moved into picking stocks. And in 2005, she had an aha moment leading her towards entrepreneurship and starting a fund with Clayton Christensen, the author of The Innovator's Dilemma. She's the author of many books herself, including Disrupt Yourself, which you can find a link to in the show notes. Outside of these things, she's married and loves to play tennis and enjoys a good Korean drama. Amy Humble grew up in a rural part of Colorado called Rifle. Her mother was a principal, her father was a psychologist, and she studied political science during undergrad while working in the Senate. She explored how to develop young people and has always been rooted in her desire to develop people. In the past, she worked with Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, who baptized and indoctrinated her into leadership development. Outside of her professional life, she's married with a young family. She enjoys skiing, hiking, biking, and playing in the water. Amy was researching women who had become thought leaders and stumbled upon the work that Whitney was doing. They started out doing a small project together in 2015 and discovered that not only do they like working together, their strengths complemented one another, which led to the forming of a partnership. This is the creation story of Disruption Advisors.
Whitney and I, we have a key saying, which is companies don't disrupt, individuals do. And Whitney had been building on the concept of the S curve before we got married into our business partnership. And I'd been working on strategy. And so Disruption Advisors is really the epitome of how can you develop people and help them have an amazingly simple framework, at the same time not losing sight of the business objectives and helping companies and organizations reach their goals. Sometimes those can be counterintuitive, quite frankly, from a learning and leadership development standpoint. So Disruption Advisors provides a bevy of services and products that help individuals think about disruption while maintaining application to relevant business challenges. We have a great executive coaching program. We have this amazing S-curve tool product that helps manage, assess, and then track developmentally people's mindset around growth and their team's mindset around growth. And then a number of other ways in which we help support organizations and people to just have a little bit better life at work, right? We want to be challenged and we want to grow.
We were going on sort of independent paths. Amy was really focused on the work that she'd done on Good to Great with Jim Collins and thinking a lot about this idea of, can you as an organization actually be great if your people aren't? And as she just articulated, for me, it was like a company doesn't actually disrupt, the people do. And what does that look like? So what happened is Amy was doing research on women who had become thought leaders. And in the process of doing that research, she found the work that I was doing, having been basically mentored by Clay Christensen, and reached out to a speaker agent and said, hey, you should check out this woman, Whitney Johnson. Her name is Amy Gray. So thank you, Amy Gray. We connected, got to work together for a couple of years, but then Amy Gray brought in Amy Humble, who was running her strategy firm, to, hey, why don't you work with Whitney on this really small project? And so we did this really small project together. It was like, I think, 2015, and discovered, oh, we like working together. And so let's do another project, and let's do another project, and let's do another project together, to the point that back in 2021, so 3 years ago, even though we had been working together and partnering in many ways for about 4 or 5 years before that, we actually officially became partners and co-founders, merging our respective strengths and talents together in 2021 to build Disruption Advisors, which has been so amazing because we have such complementary skills and strengths. And so we've been able to build something that's much, much better than either of us could have built on our own. The foundational framework is what we call the S-curve. And the really big insight that we had was that the S-curve could help us understand how people learn, how we grow, how we change, what growth looks like, and what it feels like. And there are three major parts of the curve, which we codified in our book, Smart Growth: the launch point, the sweet spot, and mastery. Launch point's that place where you first start something. Your brain's running this predictive model. It has a hypothesis about what's it going to take to get to the top, but most of your predictions are inaccurate. And so the experience you're having is you're frustrated, you're discouraged, you're overwhelmed. You may be thrilled, but you're all of those other things as well. And so growth, while it's happening mathematically at a very rapid rate, it feels very slow. And so it helps when you know you're at the launch point, you can normalize that experience of, oh, I'm overwhelmed, this is normal. Then you tip at some point into the sweet spot of that curve. That's that sleek, steep back of the curve. And this is the place where you feel like you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Sometimes you could describe it as flow. It's hard, but not too hard. And this is the place where growth's not only fast, but it feels fast. And then you've got mastery, which is the top end of the curve. And this is where that predictive model that you started running when you were at the launch point, and then you moved into the sweet spot and you were having lots of emotional upside surprises. Your dopamine was spiking. Now, in mastery, you're getting a little dopamine, but not a lot because you're not really growing. So growth has, in fact, slowed, which is now a place where you've got this dilemma. On the one hand, you like being at the top of the curve, you like being great at what you're doing, but on the other hand, you know that your brain needs more dopamine in order to grow, and so you walk into the dilemma and you make the decision to take on something new so you can push yourself back into the sweet spot, or you decide to jump to a new curve. And so what this S-curve does, because it is so simple and visual, it gives you a language to talk about your own growth. It gives you a language to talk about the growth of everyone on your team. That's the foundational framework. And then we introduce the idea of disruption of, in order for you to make progress along the curve, you need to be willing to disrupt yourself, because that's how you're going to move forward. Finally, we talk about the ecosystem. Are the conditions such that you can grow? Because you're thinking about the S-curve as a mountain. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Are the conditions there that you can grow? And so by taking this framework that we developed and then developing a tool, what we're doing is we're giving people a way to audit where they are, to track their progress, to be able to really operationalize these ideas that are very powerful, but then give them the data so they can get the insight, so that they can disrupt themselves, so that they as a company can disrupt.
Let's dive into, you know, what would be your MVP? You know, I always ask this question around a product. And I know, you know, we've talked offline a little bit about some product element that you have and some services and things. But tell me what the first version of Disruption Advisors was. What did it look like? How did you put it together? And what sort of tools were you using to bring it all to life?
So the first version of the business model for Disruption Advisors was Whitney coming out of working with Clay Christensen, having written this article, Disrupt Yourself, writing the book, launching another book called Build an A-Team. And so the early version was very much very focused on speaking and some coaching. So the business model was 80% speaking. And one of the things that happened from the revenue model for us is that when Amy and I started working together and really thinking about how can you scale these ideas beyond one-off coaching, we started thinking about how do you coach at scale and how do you take these ideas at scale. And so 2019, our business model basically flipped to be 70% coaching and 70% offsites. And so that's where it flipped to and where it is today. If you add those two together, then you've got the rest 30% speaking and some other things that we do. That's where our business model is now. But as we've introduced this new tool, our hope is that yes, we'll continue to be a services business because we do this exceedingly well, but we will now have a tool that helps you scale the services that we're providing in a very meaningful way so that people can not only understand the framework, but they'll have data that comes from the tool and the analysis of that allows them to supercharge the growth so they can get the outcomes that they want as a business.
When we started to flip the service offerings to coaching, we had an opportunity to coach an entire company. We jumped right into the deep end and scaled up quite quickly with a number of different coaches that were serving both individual contributors all the way up to the C-suite. And that was one of the origination point for taking what had been a free offering online where people could take the assessment and locate where they were. Were they at launch point? Were they at the sweet spot? Or were they a mastery? Almost a souped up survey, if you will, and recognized the value of helping people track, measure, and monitor their growth was something that Whitney and I inherently knew we wanted to develop. But we were very clear, I think, both coming from the halls of Jim Collins and Clayton Christensen, that we wanted it to be data-driven. We wanted it to be steeped in research and to be able to be validated in a tool that could really stand alone at any Fortune 500 company. And so that's when we really got to work. We have an amazing team of individuals that have helped us continue to elevate the concepts and think about how can we do this better? How can it be as accurate as possible? And how can we track growth over time? And so that MVP started actually in the middle of the pandemic. It was a unique time to choose to bootstrap a new tool, but we took basically the survey version of S-curve and then applied both research validation as well as starting to apply new technology so that we could really turn it into the product it is today, which I think we went from a Model T to a Ferrari. It's not yet a Jetson yet version. It's not flying, but we've really seen a lot of growth with it. And I think our customers have also finally had a chance to get to track the things that previously were very difficult to say, hey, how do you know if someone's growing? How do you know that you've got the right ecosystem for them to continue to grow?
This episode is sponsored by Cashfly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cashfly comes in. Cashfly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cashfly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cashfly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. Okay, so now we have the framework. We have the, you know, what you would call the MVP. What I'm curious about is how you progressed and matured, what you offer moving forward. And to wrap that in a box a little bit, what I'm really looking for is how did you build your roadmap for, you know, the tool and for disruption advisors? How did you decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address or to go do with your tools and with disruption advisors?
No, I think we have the benefit of responding and seeing not just where the market's going, but we have some amazing clients we're working with and we're in the weeds with. So we could imagine a roadmap or create a path that really gives us the long-term vision of knowing, okay, if a company wants to be great, if an organization is working on managing transition or quite frankly, going through a massive merger, how and what do they need for their people in order to reach their long-term goals? And we saw and continue to see over and over again that growing your people sometimes gets relegated to the job of a certain department. But what we know to be true is that when an organization owns growth at a larger level, you can talk about their ROI or their growth goals, but are they doing the same for their company? It gives us a really clear path at DA to know, okay, we get a sense that you're going to need to do some things for individuals. You need to do a lot of work for teams, and you need to be able to connect that back to the work that the company and the organization is doing. And so that was really a roadmap we got to see firsthand walking alongside our customers, where, for example, we have an individual who was a phenomenal executive, but really struggling with his team through the pandemic, felt disconnected, and he had really big goals at the C-suite level that he needed to deliver on. And it was showing up symptomatically in your engagement scores or in feedback with your 360s. And what Whitney and I know to be true is that if you walk alongside a leader and are able to say, hey, where do you want to take this? And they can describe to you quite eloquently the team that they'd like to have and the job to be done. What we're able to do is really craft a master plan for them to get their team on board, to help build that ecosystem that Whitney was referencing. And we can help track and monitor progress so that they know they're not just feeling the change, they get to see the change. And if you extrapolate that individual example and look at long-term for disruption advisors, our own roadmap, we know that there's frequently ways that we need to continue to build out our tools and our services to meet the needs of those leaders. big piece of this has been just building out the intellectual property and then the tools that accompany that to meet leaders where they're at.
When we first started building this tool, we were just looking at the S-curve and accelerants. And now we have our evaluations PhD, Kurt Wilson, said, you know what, let's include the ecosystem. So that's the piece that had developed. Another piece that has really an interesting evolution is when we first started to build the tool, we had set it up so that people would answer a number of questions, and then we would tell them, here's where you are on the S-curve. And we were doing it in a very nuanced way. And then we evolved it, and we had another consultant that we worked with and said, what if you just did buckets? You forced launch point, sweet spot, and mastery. Great. And we did that. Then the most recent iteration, which we're so happy about and is very human-centric, is one of the people on our team, Becky Hufke, said, you know what? Wouldn't it be better if you just asked people, what are the three major things that they're trying to get done? What are the three major S curves that they're on? And let them tell you where they think they are. And that was such a powerful unlock, because the purpose of this S curve tool is to get a read on, does the person that has just taken this tool believe that there is hope there for their future inside of this organization? Do they believe that there is growth upside? So if they can tell you, here's what I think my three responsibilities are, here's where I am, you have so much data on where they are. And the great predictor of their longevity is where they are, not where you think they are. And so that's been a really interesting unlock of going from just the S-curve and accelerants to add the ecosystem, S-curve, nuance to buckets, to now letting your person who's taking the assessment decide where they are on the curve. So that's been an interesting evolution for us around that.
Okay, so I'm curious about how you've built your team, right? There's a team behind Disruption Advisors, behind the tool, all those things. And I'm really curious about, you know, what you looked for in those people to indicate that they were the winning horses to join you.
We've had the benefit of having a team with us that we've worked very closely with for over 4 years. So we've had very low turnover, and the team that's worked with us on developing the tool both come from very various backgrounds that have really led to, I think, a more dynamic development of a product than you typically would, which I think one thing your listeners might find interesting or crazy, they can be the determining factors of that, is that we did not start with a technical team. We didn't have tech backgrounds. We just knew that this needed to be a product that was offered into the world. And so we started with working with a gentleman, Kurt Wilson, who measures the immeasurable. He's absolutely brilliant in this space. We had a project turned product manager, Caitlin Johnson, who had not previously had experience in tool management, but she is one of the best project managers we've ever met in regards to just thinking dynamically, understanding our concepts, and so was able to steward this last version of development in a really beautiful way that's led to a phenomenal outcome. And then another woman, Linda Elliott, who on our team in terms of walking our walk started actually originally as an executive assistant and now is one of our preeminent, I would say, experts on the tool from an administration standpoint. So she understands the intricacies and what is capable for the tool to do. Those kind of core three team members have really, for the last 3 years, walked alongside the tool, where then we brought in an amazing group out of the Ukraine who helped us with from a development standpoint, and proud of the work that we got to do with them. But it's been really an evolution, and you ask, how do you know if they're the right winning horses? Whitney has a wonderful phrase of surprise. Can you surprise and delight people? It's what we try to do for our customers and what we always appreciate when someone does for you. Those three team members specifically on the tool have exceeded all expectations and continue to make it what it is today. And then I want to extend that there's several other individuals on our team that have walked alongside us. So we've got Devaney Hoffenbeck on our team, who's really been our right-hand woman in shepherding the services and continuing to develop solutions that align with that tool that meet a client where they're at. And we could keep going on and on, but we have a team of actually about 15 individuals. We just had them out to Colorado not too long ago. Many of them have been with us for over, like I said, 4 years, and we wouldn't be here without them. I think Whitney and I both know that we wouldn't be Disruption Advisors without the team that helps power all of this.
I have college-age kids who are going into the job market, so I think a lot about this and this idea of people being able to just show up and take initiative. We had this debate of if you're continually surprising and delighting people, like how do you continue to surprise and delight? But I think you absolutely can. The other piece that we have been, I guess two other things we would say is in the spirit of disruption, we don't necessarily go out and look for the most qualified on paper person. We look for people that will take initiative, that want to do the work, that can collaborate. So that is a big thing that we look for, are people team players. And we try people out, have them be a contractor, work together. Are they a team player? And if they are, and they can deliver on the competency, then it ends up being a great fit. And then we work very hard to eat our own cooking. So we are about growth. We are a firm that says, if you want to achieve certain business outcomes, whether it's growing your top line or your bottom line or your any line in between, you do it through a people-centric growth strategy, you will get the results that you want. And so we are very focused that once we find people that we think are capable and team players and want to grow, that we put the conditions in place to make sure that they can grow and are continually checking in with them to ensure that they've got opportunities to develop in the areas that they want to develop, even if they're places that we would think are unexpected.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password?
No, didn't know there was one.
Do you know how to code?
No.
Do you know how to query data?
Like, ask a question? I guess not.
I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye.
Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Cashfly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cashfly comes in. Cashfly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cashfly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cashfly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5-terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory.
So I'm really curious about how this applies to disruption advisors. And, you know, I'm always curious about scale, right? Scale from a technology standpoint and a people standpoint are two different topics that bring about interesting stories and interesting things that I'm sure you both had to work through. So tell me about where scale has been thought of proactively or has been encountered in your journey. You know, has there been any interesting points where it's been, you know, something that you've had to fight as you've grown?
On the tool, we coach a lot of CEOs that are venture or PE backed. And so one of the things that we've thought a lot about is that while on the one hand, having money, external capital allows you to grow a lot more quickly and scale quickly, it also means that you cede some control. You cede not only ownership, but just control of how you're running the business. One of the decisions that we have made and trade-offs that we've made is we are going to bootstrap this business. And that means that we're not necessarily able to grow as quickly. But one of my favorite quotes from Clayton is that he said back in 2008 that the recession would have an unmitigated positive impact on innovation because when tension is great and resources are limited, people are open to rethinking the way that they do business. So we not only were willing to go a little bit, have been willing to go a little bit more slowly so that we can control our destiny, we also are very aware one of the accelerants, the seven accelerants for growing your business is, and growing as a person is to embrace constraints. And so we've felt at some level instinctively that by bootstrapping, it was going to force us to really think very clearly about what we would do next and have to figure out how we're going to fund this growth. I will never forget a data point I came across a couple years ago where they did a postmortem on 150 failed businesses. And one of the things they found is that the people who had bootstrapped their business, their running out of cash was the number 10 reason why they went out of business. But the number one reason why the people who were funded externally went out of business was they ran out of cash. So there was just some cautionary tale for us there around that.
I think patience is one of the things that Whitney and I continue to work on, or I'll speak for myself. I've had to both be more patient in the amount of time it's going to take to scale, as well as sometimes work out the kinks when scale is possible. So I think one of the things we have run into a couple of times is the opportunity has knocked on the door to scale. We must do that. You need to meet the moment. But the Herculean effort to do the lift, to meet the requirements, to do the integrations, those are all things that we sometimes have to learn firsthand, having not necessarily done a lot of product development previously for either one of us. That road can sometimes be a little bit bumpier. There's just some growing pains, no pun intended, along the way when we know the product is phenomenal. And yes, of course, we'd like it in every Fortune 500 business and using it at the C-suite and beyond. But that takes time. And the scale component to that is, for us, scale at that level. We're still working out a kink or two, depending on the client. And that has been sometimes far more frustrating than I think either one of us have anticipated, because you're wanting to just blast right through it and get to the other side and be like, wow, wasn't that successful? But success is usually at the end of what's been a fairly difficult road in ironing out some of those technical and service delivery kinks that we've experienced.
I want to hear from you individually again on this one. As you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built with DA, what are you most proud of?
I think our partnership is actually one of them. You look across the balcony of companies that have truly had phenomenal partnerships, and it's something Whitney and I take very seriously, which is it is not easy having two founders try and grow a business. We work incredibly well together, but we work well together because we work so hard at working well together, and we want to both demonstrate that for our team, but also for the clients we work with. And so one of the things I'm most proud of is our continued commitment to both growing our partnership and growing our company in a way that is reflective of the walking our walk and or eating our own cooking. So that looks like for us very intentional conversations, not shying away from the difficult discussion of, I don't know if I agree with you. And it's like, okay, let's have that discussion. And I think some of that is then in the output of a better product or a better service delivery. But other times it's buried behind the scenes and it's making a decision around, are we ready to make the next hire or an investment standpoint? And because we're bootstrapped, that holds a lot more weight for both of us in making some of those decisions. So making them together are imperative.
Building on that moment where we realized that we had these ideas that we're able to operationalize and that they work. And I think a moment of real gratification, and this is going to sound funny, but we had our team offsite, as Amy said, a month ago, and we administered the latest version of the S-Curve Insight tool to our team and then had two members of our team debrief it. I remember just thinking, I think I exclaimed out loud, jubilantly, like, this really works. Everybody, this works. Like, we applied it to our team. We got a ton of data. We had so many insights and just that realization of we're building something. We know these ideas are robust. We're eating our own cooking, as Amy said. Let's see if we can find yet another metaphor. And it works. And that is something to be very proud of when you're building something that's useful, not only to someone else, but to you, which goes back to our theme of it's not the companies that disrupt, it's people doing. So we now have a tool that we know works to help us disrupt ourselves so that we can make progress, which is what people want to make in their lives, is to move forward.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
One of the reasons we know the tool works is that one of the questions that came up was respect for private time. I think that's how we framed it. A lot of people on the team said they didn't feel like their private time was, or personal time was respected.
I was so frustrated with our own tool because we have unlimited paid leave for our full-time employees. We don't bug them on the weekends. Whitney and I feel like we were giving them plenty of personal time. So our immediate reaction was being defensive around what we believed was the right, and I'd put that in air quotes if we were on video, the right culture to strike. And then Whitney, what did we learn once we opened up the conversation?
We gave them the benefit of being defensive in public. It was okay. And in fact, we actually think that they appreciated us being defensive in public. But then what we did is when we started to unpack and get curious after our moment of being sad, not retaliating, just sad, we found out that there were some systems in place and deadlines around our podcast specifically, where one person had, because we weren't respecting sort of the deadlines within the system of delivery date on the podcast, she was routinely having to be up at 3 a.m. to make sure that the podcast got uploaded. It wasn't her fault that she was up till 3 a.m. And so when we got curious and we unpacked, we said, oh, we've got a system that's not working. And as W. Edwards Deming said, and I will butcher this, something along the lines of every system gives you the result that it's supposed to give you. So if you're getting a result you don't like, then there's something wrong with the system. So that's a mistake that we made. But again, it was that, oh, the tool works. So a good learning moment to recognize that even when you think you're doing everything really well and trying to build the culture that you really want to build, you're not always going to do it well. But the fact that people were willing to tell us, that was a really good thing.
In terms of the development of the product itself, we learned a lot from a mistake standpoint, just on as simple as the technical writing to ensure that what you're thinking is what then gets developed and those two meet in a place that they can speak to one another. So frequently I may have articulated, oh, this is what I think I want this thing to do, and articulating it and then writing it for a developer to actually understand and translate and turn into the actual product. We learned our lesson early and quite frankly often of just the deep need to both be specific and pressure test so that you're really getting the product and the outcome you want. So you have the experience that Whitney just described, which is it works. In order for it to work, there was numerous times where we had to take two steps back because what I had said and imagined was not exactly how we had then written it for the outcome. So learning as well code language versus what you can just say off the cuff of something.
Okay, this will be fun. So what does the future look like for disruption advisors, for your product, and for your team?
The future is a business that continues to give absolute bespoke services, whether it's coaching or offsites, but that is able to do that because of the data-driven insight and tracking that can happen because of our tool. And so we really see the future of small and medium-sized companies and Fortune 500 companies. We see a future where if people are believing in a people-centric growth strategy that want to deliver outcomes, which if you're in business, you do, then they're going to want to talk to us. And so that our tool becomes something that is the tool, the S-curve framework, is just a go-to in businesses across the world.
Yes, both our S-curve tool and the products and services that surround that are the tool of choice for companies around the world that are focused on not just growing their companies, but want to grow their people at the same time. And I think that there is a lot of room for growth out there. We just need to elevate an awareness. And as we do that, as we elevate the awareness that there is a tool out there that can do this, that we're able to meet clients where they are and quickly scale while having minimal bumps and bruises along the way.
Last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person? Having gone down this road a bit with your product, with your services, with your company, what would you tell them?
Whitney always gives me a hard time, Noah, because I've never been on a plane where I haven't met a friend. And that sounds like I'm the scary girl next to you that just immediately starts talking and won't stop. But most of all, it's because I think our disposition as coaches before even entrepreneurs is curiosity. So I think before I'd hand out or hand down any advice, just understanding the journey that someone has before, that's not to skip the question, but I think oftentimes entrepreneurs are moving so fast and they're so obsessed, which is the right thing to be done, about their next big thing, that creating some space to reflect is truly where they maybe are going to have the bigger breakthrough than any wisdom that you could bestow. But to not skirt the question completely, I would say from an advice standpoint is just have fun along the way. I think one of the things that Whitney and I have built Disruption Advisors for and why we didn't seek funding right off the bat or do this underneath the auspices of a larger umbrella is that we wanted to have the opportunity to chart our own course. And I hope that for other entrepreneurs, they get the opportunity to do the same. Whether you take funding or not, that you're choosing to enjoy the ride and not just only be focused on the end result, because I think you have to be able to do both.
I have recency bias, but I'm thinking about this. I'm going to quote Scott Miller, who was the CMO of Franklin Covey. We talk about how people are the most important asset in your company. And he said, it's the relationship between people that's the most important asset in your company. And so I think the thing I would say is, yes, go out and build. Don't be afraid. Trust yourself, and most importantly, figure out how you're going to work with people, because you, as we talk a lot about the S-curve, you have to do it by yourself, but you cannot do it alone. Find a way to bring other people along. Find a way to have it be a joyful experience for you, because work is meant to be joyful. Work and building something is meant to have us create. Yes, we are in business. We want to build a business. And if you're in business, your raison d'etre is to make money and give people good products and build wealth for the owners. But the reason that we're really in business is that we want to help people make progress. And so find something that resonates in the deepest part of your soul and tap into that as an entrepreneur. And if you do that, you will find joy and happiness in your life, which is the whole point of being on this planet.
Couldn't agree more. Fantastic advice. Well, Whitney, Amy, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Disruption Advisors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.